Plus boiling water.
Fine.
Our opening question was that the Kayadua Alpi Kabbalat HaKadmonim, it's a very ancient Kabbalah, that these weeks of Shovavim, Shmos Ve'erabo, Meshach, Yisrael, Meshachim, are Mesugo for Tshuva, Bechlau, but Befrat for Tikkun HaBris. You know, I don't know how you're going to explain that in English, you know. Okay, but that's your job. You know, so we want to know, you know, what's the kesher, you know, between these weeks and tshuva bechlal and tikkun habris befrat. That was our first question. So now our next question was in the very first Rashi. In this week's parsha, so Rashi, goes on, El Shmos Peso Boim Mitzrayim. So Rashi says, Afi Shemon B'chayim B'Shmosam, even though they're already counted by name, in Parshas Vayigash, there's a whole detailed list of who went down to Mitzrayim. Chazor Menon B'Misasan, they're once again counted when they're dead. Yeah, Lodir Chibas and Shishu Kocham, they're so dear, they're like stars. Shem Motir Machisam B'Mispar, U'B'Shemos, and Hashem brings them out and takes them out and brings them in by number and by name. Shenemar Hamotzi B'Mispar Tzvam B'Kulam B'Shem Yikra. And he brings them out by number, and to all them, a name he calls. Okay, so we had a few kashas on this. So first of all, why is there not a rehash of the whole list of Parshas Vayigash? There's over here a tremendous incongruence between the name and number. The names are only the names of the Shvatim. Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zebulun, Benyamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Ve'er, Kon, Ephraim, Yosef, Yaakov, Yishivim, Nefesh. All of them together were 70. But you only give 12 names. Right? So it should be, if it's supposed to, by number and by name, so give us, all the 69 names that were mentioned in Parshas Vayigash, right? Now, Lamasa afterwards, we're actually medayek in Rashi, that Rashi is well aware of this problem. And it's very medayek, but he doesn't answer it. But it is clear, if you're medayek hetev in Rashi, he was very aware of the problem. And Mash, it's beautiful, the diuk. Listen to the Lashon Rashi. Alpi shemanam b'chayem b'shmosam. When they were alive, he counted them by their name. By name, Parshas Vayigash. Chazor umanam b'shmosam. He counted them in their death. Now, it doesn't say by name. Chazor umanam, it said, umanam b'chayem b'shmosam. When they were alive, they were counted by name. So, chazor umanam b'misasam. Just counted again in their death. Right? And to say that they're dear like the stars. Now, which pasuk does Rashi bring? That stars have number and name. A pasuk from Yishayo. Hamotzi b'mispar tzvam l'kulam shegar. He brings out by number their multitudes. To all of them, a name he calls. Right? Now, this in contrast to a more well-known pasuk, because it's in Psukei Dezimra. It's in Tilna, we say Psukei Dezimra every single day. If you get to Shul on time, right? Mone mispar la kochavim lekulam shemos yikra. Right? He counts a number to stars, and all them he gives names. Right? Now Rashi didn't bring that pasuk in Tehillim, which also illustrates that stars have a number and name. Mone mispar lekulam shemos yikra. He brought this pasuk in Yishayo, right? Hamotzi b'mispar tzvam Lekulam b'shem yikra, that one could read the pasuk as saying that, you know, the stars have, you know, they're, you know, everyone, you know, the number, which is, you know, in the billions, and all of them he calls Einim. You know, one could read the pasuk Lashon that Kulam b'shem yikra Lashon Yachid, as if all the stars are called one name, right? Which again, fits with the incongruence over here between, there's an incongruence between number and name. Just like, you know, Shivim Nefesh, but only 12 names, and Rashi brought a parallel pasuk by the stars, Motzi B'mispar Tzom L'kulam B'shem Yikra. Could be like billion, the number is billions, but only one name. Right? But we've just seen that, you know, we're medayik that Rashi's aware of the problem. That's why he says what he says and brings the pasuk that he brings, right? But we haven't, you know, chapped yet the omek ha'inyan of when you have a name per number, or when you have, you know, a much bigger number than name, which is a sign that we will attempt to be mevayer. But then there's, you know, the more, you know, the more simple and obvious question over here. You know, B'nai Yisrael like the stars. B'nai Yisrael like the stars. What is the common denominator, you know, between Klai Yisrael and the stars? The Yirta HaKadosh Baruch Hu like the stars. You know, which have, as aforementioned, number and name. So also Klai Yisrael has to have number and name. Now, going in the order of the parsha, when Moshe Rabbeinu has this encounter, for, you know, this first encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, at the Sneh, right? So there's, you know, so the Baruch Hu gets, you know, pretty much, you know, gets to the point, you know, that I'm sending you, you know, I'm sending you to, to, you know, to save Klal Yisrael, right? So, who Hashem is pretty obvious. You know, he introduced himself already at the beginning, right? Anochi Elokei Avicha, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. He introduced himself. I'm the God of your forefathers, right? Right? Yeah. And it's very sad, and the agenda is very clear. You know, to come and save Klal Yisrael. So now Moshe Rabbeinu asks something very, very peculiar. He says like this: "Ve'omer Moshe Elokim, hinei anochi ba el b'nei Yisrael, v'amar to them, Elokei avotechem shalchani aleichem. I'm going to come and tell them that the God of your forefathers sent me. Ve'omru li mashmoi ma'oimar lahem. They ask me, what's his name? What should I tell them? And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, Eke asher eke. Right? So, right, who cares, right? All right, if you're a slave, you know, or you're a hostage, let's say, a hostage, waiting to be liberated, right? All right, so a bunch of, you know, Marines break into, we're being held hostage, and say, okay, right, we're here to save, we're America. You know, we're American soldiers. We're here to liberate you. You're not going to say, wait a minute, I'm not going with you guys till you guys tell me your names. Right? Right? It's clear, it's Elokei Avosechem, Shlochani Aleichem. Right? Like, the Ribbono Shel Olam is, you know, the God of the forefathers. Right? Right? You know, so you know what you're dealing with, you know, a friendly force. Right? Friendly force. He's come to save you. Mashmo, you know, they ask me, what's his name? What am I going to tell him? Who cares? Who needs a name? He's the God of the forefathers, come to save you. So what's the whole thing? Mashmo, Ma'u Marlahan. What, why was it necessary? Why would B'nai Yisrael care? Now, Mishlo Moshe has an intellectual curiosity, right? To know the divine names. Like, why is he worried that Klaisel is going to ask him what's his name? You know, why is he worried about that? Now, equally puzzling is Paro's response. All right. Anyway, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paro. Right. After Moshe Rabbeinu first went to Bnei Yisrael. Then he went to Paro, Vachar bo Moshe Rabbeinu Paro, kol ma Hashem okeso, shlachas abi b'yachog li b'bar. He said, listen, God, the Lord of Israel, nothing too hard to understand. God, the Lord of Israel, has sent me, has sent you to say, send my people to, to worship me in the Midbar, celebrate with me in the Midbar, everyone, sacrifice to me in the Midbar. Vayomer Paro, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekolo, Lishachas Yisrael, Lo Yadati Et Hashem, Begam Yisrael, Lo Ashalech. Who's Hashem? Then I should listen to him. I don't know Hashem. Right? And so therefore, Klai, so I'm not going to send out either. Right? Now, I'm taking the pasuk at face value, right? Because so does Unkelus. You might think, I guess most people don't find this difficult because they assume that Paro is speaking in the same lingo that we speak in. Who are you to tell me what to do? Right? It's not like this. But that's not what Paro is saying. Paro is saying, I never heard of Hashem. I never heard of Hashem, so I'm not listening. And that's mamash the lush, how Unkelus teach the pasuk. Right? Well, the taich of Unkelus is Va'amar Paro Shema Hashem Lo Itgalili, was not revealed to me. Okay? The Kabbalah of memory that I should now accept his words. The Shach HaSol to send. So Lo Itgalili Shema Hashem, the name of Hashem has not been revealed to me. Okay? Va'af Yat Yisrael HaShach, and therefore I will not send Klal Yisrael. Right, so taking this in the most literal way, Paro saying, I never heard of the guy, so I'm not sending him. I'm not sending Klal Yisrael. If you get an anonymous threat letter, right? Just because you don't know who's behind the threat doesn't mean you shouldn't feel threatened. Adarabba. If you say, I know Hashem and I'm not scared of him because I know who he is, Bishlama, Adarabba. Because you don't know what you're up against, then you should, Adarabba, you should be, you should be more scared. Ech shelo yeh, not having heard of Hashem, right, is not a basis to say, no, I'm not listening. I'm not complying. Not having heard is if anything, you should be more scared, but certainly not a reason to say to Adarabba, say, I know the guy and I know what he's capable of and I'm not scared of him. That's all. I never heard of him.
Couldn't what be what's behind it? Pashtus is that Klal Yisrael is trying to make an excuse to get out of the settle that they're in. So people get desperate and they take desperate measures. So they
came up
with this idea. I'm just saying, maybe that's what Paro's attitude was. The Rav is emphasizing the
Lo Yadati Et Hashem. Lo Yadati Hashem. I do not know Hashem.
It says in Chumash Hashem Hei Shin Mem, and it says Yud Kei Vov Kei,
which Unkelus teaches Shmod Hashem.
Ah.
The name of God I do not know.
Right. I remember from Midrash. As a Midrash, it says that his Chozim said that they had all the names of all the Avodah Zarah, and wasn't on the list.
Right.
That name wasn't on the list. list.
Well, yeah. Okay. To explain better why, like, he had such a, you know, as we say, lo hizizlo, didn't move him. To understand all this is to understand the, however you would teach, the Hevdel Mahuti between the era of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the era that preceded Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is inclusive of the era of the Avos. The other era of the Avos, the whole era of pre-Yetzias Mitzrayim, which includes the time of the Avos, as opposed to the era of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which shiur is actually, we're going to go even deeper into these ideas next week when Hashem himself outlines the difference. Says, "Va'era Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Bekel Shakai Ushmi Havaya Lo Nodati Lahem." But for our purposes, for this week, right, understanding the Hevdel Mahuti between pre-Yetzias Mitzrayim and post-Yetzias Mitzrayim, which will give us insight that will develop over the next few weeks, over next week also, of why Hashem did not give the Torah to the Avos. He gave it to Klal Yisrael. Right? Or Matan Torah was not to the Avos. It was, Matan Torah is a part of this era, the Yetzias Mitzrayim era. So now, to understand all this, so as the Rambam points out in the Mor Nevuchim, take a look at history itself. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu is being sent with a message to Bnei Yisrael and Lahavdil, a message to Paro. When was the time, the last time before this, that a Navi was sent with a message to anybody? Answer is never. Never. You look, we're going with, the strict Pasha Pshat and Chumash, right? You will not find in the whole Sefer Bereishis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever sent a Navi to tell anybody anything. An amazing thing. Right. Even though there were prophecies, but prophecies were private affairs between the prophet and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never sent a Navi to say something in his name, as in Ko Amar Hashem. So whether it's how Adam Rishon was a Navi, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him 6 mitzvahs, right? He didn't say to Adam Rishon, "I want you to say over to your children in my name these 6 mitzvahs." You're commanded 6 mitzvahs. So Adam Rishon, taught those 6 mitzvahs to his kids as chokhmah, right? Even Noach, right? Noach, was the prophet of doom, supposedly, with the Mabul. It's amazing. Reb Oshem didn't send him to tell the people that there's going to be a Mabul. What did Reb Oshem command him to do? Build a teva, right? And when people ask you, "What's this thing that's blocking my driveway?" Right? So you tell them, Reb Oshem's going to bring a mabul, but he was not sent to tell the people in the name of Hashem that there's going to be a mabul, right? Hashem revealed it to Noach, and Noach did not say it over b'shem Hashem. He didn't even have to say it over. He just had to build the teva to attract attention, and would tell them mitzara chokhba. Shame and aver, same thing, right? And the Rambam is, in a different paragraph, another paragraph, is medaikit from what Chazal say throughout the, whenever they refer to shame and aver, they call them base midrashot shel shame, right? It was a base midrash. They taught chokhma. They didn't give nevuah, right? They didn't give over prophecies to the people in the name of Hashem. So it could be that their chachma was divinely inspired. Maybe you shouldn't use that term because it sounds too reformed. But, they call it the Torah, divinely inspired. Whatever. But I'm just saying, it could be that their chachma was Beruach HaKadosh, but they gave it over as chachma. They didn't give it over as a message from Hashem to the people. And that's the same thing with Avraham Avinu, who was a big, big Navi, right? And he just was mitvakech with people. He argued with people. And then he approached people mitzad asvara. So now, there's two interesting things first of all, we mentioned the Rambam. This is the Rambam's own answer to a problem that he has. The Rambam writes this in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, as well as Hakdamah to Pirush HaMishnayos, where he talks about the laws of Nevuah. So Kayadua, the way to check a Navi is if he prophesies something good and it doesn't happen, you know he's a Navi Sheker. If he prophesies something bad and it doesn't happen, Hashem is Nicham Alara. But he's a Navi Sheker, he prophesies something good and it didn't happen. So Frank the Rambam Akasha like this. So Yaakov Avinu, Vayir Yaakov Mod Vayetzer Lo, and Chazal say Shema Yigro Machet. Right? So even though he had a promise of Hine Enochi Machush Marticha B'chosher Teilech, right? Shema Yigro Machet. So Frank the Rambam, but he got that promise bin Nevuah. A good Nevuah always happens. So the Rambam answers, nah, that's a Nevuah that God told you to say over. If God told you to tell the people good things are going to happen, so Yibosh won't allow a Chil Hashem to happen and that the good things shouldn't happen. But if the Navi wasn't commanded to say it over, it doesn't have the halacha of a good Nevuah that has to happen no matter what. That's only a Nevuah that the Navi was commanded to tell the people. Right? But Nevuahs that are, he's not commanded to give over people, Nevuahs that are private business between the Navi and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have this din. So you could have Shema Yigro Machet. Yaakov was not commanded to give this Nevuah over. But what's more glaring from the Psukim is that when Avraham Avinu meets Shem ben Noach, who's a.k.a. Malki Tzedek Melech Shalom. Right? So, Vuhu Kohen Lekel Elyon. Right? So, Torah describes Malki Tzedek was a Kohen Lekel Elyon. Right? A Kohen, a priest that worshipped the God above. So, right, it's Pasha Pshah and Chumash, but the Radziner points out that you see that the tzaddikim of yore referred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Kel Elyon, which means the God above. The rebuff, there's no Gilui Elokus in Olam Hazeh. So therefore, all these experiences of Nevuah were actually transcendental experiences that the Navi, as it were, overcame the Hester Ponim of Olam Hazeh and had a Gilui, but Olam Hazeh remained a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not revealed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Kel Elyon. Such was the era of the Avos. Now, Mamash, parallel to this, just like there was no Nevuah that was to be sent over to the people, parallel to this idea was the fact that there were no Nisim Gluyim. Go find me in the Chumash. I mean, I know Alpi Medrash there were, but we're going with the Pashup Pshat and Psukim. Right? Show me one Nes Nigla that there was. One Nes Nigla that there was. Now, Nigla means Nigla to the people. Alright, you have to understand this. Nigla means Nigla to the people, that a person who sees it, right, cannot deny that it's a miracle. Right? Right.
What happened with Avraham Avinu with Kibshan Aish wasn't...
Okay, so again, so since we're going first of all with the text of the Chumash, and that's what the Rambam stresses, Now, of course, the very fact that it's in Tarshah Baal Peh, non-Tarshah B'Chasav, is mashma that it was deniable, because it would be if it was undeniable, it would be pashut pshat chumash. It means the people there had a way of rationalizing it. You know, when I said this shir, you know, a precursor of this shir in Malcha, you know, earlier last week, so one of the people in the crowd asked me, well, what about stone? So I said, well, you know, it's not a nes nigla if the miracle killed you, right? All right, the miracle killed you, right? It's not a nes nigla. Nes nigla is that, you know, had a message, right? Had a message, right? So someone else asked me, but what about Lot's wife? She turned to salt. I said, if not for that fact that the Torah wrote that, no one would ever known it. But why she turned to salt, right? Because she looked behind. Lot didn't know that she turned to salt because Lot didn't look behind, right? He knew he lost his wife.
So it still says in the Gedra Prati, you're saying.
Right. Nes Nigla means that a person observes and learns from it. If the miracle wiped you, either killed you directly, like the Mea Mabul, or the Esh of Stone, or Lot's wife. If the miracle killed you, right? So that's not called a Nes Nigla. Nes Nigla means it was Nigla for people to see, observe, and learn from. Right? But that changed in this week's parasha. And Mamish, a perfect parallel, right? Just like Moshe Rabbeinu is now sent on a mission to say things in the name of Hashem, he is also given nisim gluyim to perform. Turn the staff into a snake and turn it back, right? With the hand, with, you know, the water to turn it to blood. It's the first time in history, and these two things happen together. Nisim gluyim and gilui nevuah. Whereas nevuah was before at Behester, that Nevuah was a private business to those individuals that had a transcendental experience. Right? Now Nevuah is out in the public. Nevuah is shared with the people. And Mamish Palatat, there's, you know, Nisim Niglim, common denominator of the two being Gilui Elokus, the revelation of divinity. Right, the revelation of divinity is the correct state for the world to be in. You know, it's called the world being fully developed when there's Gilui Elokus. Right, there's no question the world is less perfect. And not just less perfect, but even incomplete without Gilui Elokus. Right. And I want to now further get into this relationship of what the world was before Yetzias Yisrael, as opposed to what the world became, to more discuss, you know, be magdir, the incomplete state, as opposed to the state, the complete state, which is nitgaleh with Yetzias Mitzrayim. And this Alpia Medrash in Brachos Rabbah, right? You know, that the Medrash over there darshins the five times that Or is mentioned by Briyasa Or, keneged the Chamisha Chum Sheitor. Yehi Or is Sefer Brachos, Vayehi Or is Shmos. Varokim is or kitovs vayikra, vayatukim ben or venachoshech is bamidbar, vayikra okim or yom, dvarim, right? So says the Medrash like this, Yehi or zes sefer brachos, shebo hit aseka kodesh baruchu ubora oilomoi. Let there be light is sefer brachos, by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu in sefer brachos, he created his world. Vayehi or, and there was light. Right? And there was light. Right? That's Sefer Shmos, Shebo Yotzu Yisrael Me'afela L'Or Gadol. That's Christ, or went from darkness to light. It's an amazing model that's being set up over here in the Medrash of the era of Sefer Bereishis as opposed to the era of Sefer Shmos. Dvarim Nifloim Ma'od, to be Medayik over here. So first of all, Yihi Or, let there be light, that's potential. Vayihi Or, and there was light, that's actual. That's actual. It's like potential versus actual. Right? And so now, let's say the Shmos side of the equation is mamish, you know, very clear. Vayihi Or, and there was light. That's Sefer Shmos. So Yotzu me'afel or go. They went from darkness to light. So that's actual. You know, that's coming into actual being. Actual being. Well, what still needs explanation, right, or further analysis, I should say, you know, is the first part of the Medrash. Yehi Or, let there be light, is Sefer Bereishis shebo hitasek HaKadosh Baruch Hu ubara olamo. Let there be light is Sefer Bereishis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, you know, created the world, you know, Sefer Bereishis with which Hashem created the world. With, that's the Lashon HaMedrash. Shebo hitasek HaKadosh Baruch Hu ubara olamo. Right? So there, further elucidation is required. Right? You know, first of all, in the simple Pasha Pshat, what do you mean Shebo Itasek HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olamo? Sacha Kol, the first Aliyah of Bereishis. Now, Rishon of Bereishis is the story of Briyas Olam. From Shani and Bereishis until the end of Sefer is talking about a fully developed world. You know, Shani is the story of what happened in Garden of Eden with the Nachash and thus, well, first of creation of Chava, okay, yeah. So let's say from Shlishi onwards, you know, it's all, you know, events that happen in a fully formed world. So what do you call the whole Sefer? Shebo Itasek HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bara Olamo. You call it, the whole book is called that. Wait a minute, it's the first two Aliyahs, Vizel. Right, but number two, why is Briyas HaOlam called potential? Seemingly that's actual. It's created. But it's all like Yihi Or, let there be light. You know, it's like Briyas HaOlam is all called like let there be light, but not that there is light. That's Sefer Shmos. Right? So the Inyan is like this. Right? You know, the difference between Tohu and Tikkun, right, you know, shapelessness and formlessness, right, as opposed to something being in its proper, you know, shape, right, is not what you think. It's not what you think that it's just, you know, stam this mamish, you know, it's crude versus fully formed. Because if that's the case, the world went from crude to being, you know, having a nice surah, like we said, in the first two aliyahs of Sefer Bereishis. But the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Shita afishnin have alma, alpayim tohu, alpayim Torah, v'alpayim Mashiach. Right, of the 6,000 years of Olam Hazeh, 2,000 years of it are called tohu. Now, that 2,000 years is basically the whole era of Sefer Bereishis. Right, it's basically the whole era of Sefer Bereishis. You know, most of it. You know, Yetzirah happens in the year 2400, something like that. So basically, you know, those 2,000 years is, you know, roughly, you know, rove the era of Sefer Bereishis. That whole era is called Tohu. Right, so we have to think a little bit more abstractly when we talk about, you know, tohu as opposed to tikkun. That it's not, you know, it's not as crude, you know, as tohu is not as crude as you think it is. Right. Tohu, right, the Ramchal writes in the Das Tunis, right, Olam HaTohu could have a tremendous amount of shape and color and order to it. what's missing from the tohu is the unifying goal, because as Ramchal writes over there, in tohu you could have still higher things and lower things. You know what tohu is? The law of the jungle. In the law of the jungle, there's order. There's a very definite food chain, right, from top to bottom. Who eats who? Right. But like we like calling a jungle, it's law of the jungle. That's like ki'ilu chaos, right? Because even though there's a definite food chain, there's a definite order, right? But there's no unifying cause, and the tzura that's attained by how things revolve and interface relative and around the unifying cause, that's the proper tzura. That's tikkun. Everything finds its true place in reality. Its true place in reality, right? Vis-a-vis how it fits with the unifying goal. And that's the proper tzura. You could have all the koichas fully formed. You could have all the koichas fully formed, right? But without the unifying goal for around which the koichas have to revolve and serve, so it's called that you're still mechusar tzura. It's still crude because the real tzura metukenet has not emerged. So even within tohu there could be higher and lower, more refined and less refined, but it's still called tohu, in the law of the jungle type world, which is basically our whole world also. We're not better than the jungle, In politics, who eats who? It's all a big food chain. In the business world also, it's one big food chain, right? The beauty that is yet to emerge, fully, it started emerging with Yetzias Mitzrayim, is that the higher goal of around which all the koichas arrange themselves, that's the tzura, that's the proper tzura of the world. How everything interfaces with the overriding goal, the higher cause. That's, and how everything will therefore interface with that cause and interface with each other as a result of interfacing with that cause, that's called tikkun. In the whole inyan of Sefer Bereishis, right, where there's no Gilui Elokus in the world, but there is the expansion of civilization. So you know what's happening in Sefer Bereishis is that all the different koichas of be it nature, which was created in 6 days, but be it of the different nations of the world, all the koichas are being put into place. And the Avos are no exception to this. The Iker accomplishment of the Avos that was Ladoiris, the Iker accomplishment of the Avos was to shtel avek the midas of Klal Yisrael, the koichas that make Klal Yisrael Klal Yisrael. Rachmonim, Baishonim, Gomlei Chasonim, which is besod Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avron. Rachmonim is Yaakov, right? Baishonim, Busha is Yitzchak, from the midah of Yira. And Gomlei Chasonim, that's Avron. Chesed Gvur Tiferes, Chesed Din Rachamim. The Iker Avot of the Avos, meaning their lasting legacy. Now don't get me wrong, Avraham Avinu did try to change the world, like we said in our Shiurim on Parshas Lech Lecha, or Noach, I don't remember, right? Avraham Avinu did try to change the world. But you see, it wasn't his Iker mission. Hello? אני עכשיו עובד עם יועלה, ואחרי זה אני צריך ללכת ללרנה, אבל אני יכול להסיע אותך בעוד רבע שעה. אז אולי אמא רוצה להסיע אותך. אוקיי, אז תחכה. זה למה אמרתי לך להשאיר את התפילין. אז זה למה אמרתי לך להשאיר את התפילין בבית, צריך להסיע אותך מחר. אני אעשה, אבל אני באמצע משהו. Okay. Sorry about that. Right. So even though Avraham Avinu tried to change the world, like we spoke, so like the Rambam says in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, in Mitzvah Gimel, Avas Hashem, anyone who loves Hashem will be like Avraham Avinu and tell everyone to love. You love someone, you want everyone to love him also. So of course that's mitzvah that Avraham Avinu was an Oyev Hashem. He tried to change the world. But as the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, you know, everyone they preached to dumped it. The Nefesh HaZorah burnt out, and almost everything, all the philosophy they taught was almost totally forgotten, even from Klal Yisrael, until Hashem, you know, had mercy on us and at the last moment sent Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ikra Avoda of the Avos, even though they tried to do everything that they can, but their Ikra Avoda was also to be Koveya, the Midas of Klal Yisrael. Just like the whole story of Sefer Bereishis, every nation emerging, all the different koichos of the Bria are emerging. So even if they're not emerging, yesh me'ayin, right? But still, the whole Sefer is called Shebo Hitasek HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bara Olamo, that the end of Sefer Bereishis is all the koichos coming into being. Whereas the koichos HaTeva, the koichos of the different umos, the koichos of Klal Yisrael. The koichos of Klal Yisrael. So all the koichos are coming into being. Right? But we do not yet have the unifying goal, right, that all these kochos are supposed to serve. And all that, and this matzav is called potential as opposed to actual. You know, and we said, you know, lemazedoma in the micro, in the formation of a human being himself. Right? The Gemara Nida says that at the time of conception, there's a malach, that Laila Shmo, his name is Laila, and he takes the tipa in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, what's going to be with this tipa? He's going to be a chacham or a tipish. He's going to be a gibor, he's going to be a cholosh. All the different koichas are kavua at the time of conception. But says the Gemara with one exception, Tzadik or Rasha is not determined, because he has Bechira. So there's an amazing vort over here. Right? Now, there's an amazing word that that what's being said is that, you know, at the time of conception, you get all the koichas, but that's all potential. Actual is how you use it, right? And that's tzaddik rasha. On what basis are you a tzaddik or rasha? What you did with your koichas. You did good, you're a tzaddik. You did bad, you're a rasha. So tzidkas and rishas is actual. All the other things are bekoyach as opposed to bepo. Sefer Bereishis is to set up all the koichas of the Bria, right? Including the koichas of Klai. So the avod of the Ovis was not to change the world, even though they may have tried. But their ikra avod was to be koveh, the koichas of the Am that will change the world when the time comes. To be koveh, the koichas of Am Yisrael. And we alpidus, we teich, you know, the word, you understand, the avod of the Ovis. What's called Maisa Avos Simen Labanim, right? As we know, many things that happened to the Avos were precursors of what happened to Klal Yisrael. So, you know, so you ask, what the heck is that? You know, that the Avos had to have miserable lives because they had to have lives parallel to all the stuff that we're going to have to go through. No! Because Maisa Avos Simen Labanim, you know, that statement actually says it all, explains what the Avod of the Avos was. So first of all, Maisa Avos, Maisa is what's Koveya Midas. Like all the Sifrei Musar say, the Rambam amongst them, how are you Koveya Mida? By repeating a Maisa over and over again. Now we also brought the Mishnah in Avos. You know, the Mishnah Avos says that a person whose Masav is Merubin Mechachmaso, Lemao Dome, to an Elon that's Shorosh of Merubin, Vanaf of Mu'atim, Maisim are called Shorosh. The Maisa Avos is our Shoresh. The Avos were being Koveya, our roots, our Koichas. Right? And that's Simen Labanim. What's a Simen in Halacha? We find Simonim in at least two instances, two main instances, but there are probably more, that either to identify a corpse, Simonim, or to return a lost object. The purpose of simonim is identification, right? That, you know, that's why everything could find its identity or find its owner. Maisa Avos Simen Labanim, because of what the Avos went through, they were koveya midas in us that we don't get lost. And it's not a coincidence. There happen to have been three of us, right? And there are three main midas in Klal Yisrael that make us a different nation than all other nations. You know, we're Rachmanim, Baishonim, Gomlei Chasadim. And parallel to these three was that in Mitzrayim, Lo Shinu Shmam L'Shoinav U'Malbusham. Those that threeness is connected, the threeness of the others, that they were kovered the midas of Klal Yisrael. The simen that Klal Yisrael is Mesuman. Well, that's a pshat that they say on the sifrei that's brought in the Haggadah. Milabichu b'neisom mitzuyim sham, mitzuyonim sham, mitzuyonim sham miloshin tzion. They have a tzion. They have they're distinct. They have simonim. Right, and that's the avodah of the Ovis. The avodah of the Ovis is to be koveya, the midas of Klal Yisrael, right? The koiches of Klal Yisrael, right? And that's the whole idea of Sefer Bereishis, is right? Is to be koveya the koiches. But now the nekuda of the goal that the midas are meant to, the koiches are supposed to serve, that's Sefer Shmos. So now, we spoke about this, you know, a great deal in the Shir on Parshas Miketz, right? That the goal is called the Shem. I say like Lishma, Lishem, Lishem Shemayim. Sefer Shmos is, you know, where the Bria goes from potential to actual. We said potential to actual is what do you do with the koiches, which is like we said from that Gemara Nida, Tzadik or Rosh is the actual. What do you do with the koiches? To what purpose do the koiches serve? But the purpose wasn't mitgaleh yet, and that's what's being mitgaleh with Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? Is that, you know, the Shem Shemayim is being mitgaleh. And that is what we're going to see throughout the coming weeks, right? Ba'avur zodei maraticha, l'man arosas kochi, l'man saper shmi b'chol aretz. Right? You know, Hashem says to Parah, I the only reason why I let you survive is to show off my power, and l'man saper shmi b'chol aretz. Right? That's why he had to do so many makas. L'man saper shmi. Right? To be megala shem shamayim. And that's the whole avodah. The Ramban really writes this in his Hakdamah to Sefer Shmos, that this book is all about being Megala Shem Shemayim, and that culminates with the Mikdash, all the Nisim Gluyim, and then Matan Torah. Torah is called Shmos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then after that the Mishkan, which is called Leshakein Shmo Sham. The Shechina is also called Shmo Leshakein Shmo Sham. Koma koma asher askir shmi. Avodah Brechtim. Makom Mikdash is called asher askir shmi because there we say the Shem Amfurish. Right? The whole tahalich, the whole process of Sefer Shmos is Gilui Shem Shemayim on earth, which is really Gilui the tachlis that all the koiches are supposed to serve. And that's the difference between potential and actual. That's the difference between Tohu versus Tikkun. Having the goal that all the koichas serve. Gilui atachlis. Gilui shem shemayim. So now first let's start with Paro. And then we'll work our way back to what Moshe's concern for Bnei Yisrael was. So Paro says, Lo yadati et Hashem. Right, so you have to understand, right, The ikar shlichus of Moshe Rabbeinu to Paro is not the pshat to go threaten him. That's not the pshat, right? The ikar pshat is to tell Paro there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because that's the whole point of Gulas Mitzrayim, right? Gilui Elokus. So the main thing was not to make Paro scared, But to say to Paro like this, there is a Ribono Shelom. And this Ribono Shelom says to let out the Jewish people. But the yesod of his shlichus is, right? That, right? Ko Omar Hashem Okei Yisrael. Shlachas Ami V'Yachol Gomer. The main thing is not to threaten him, right? Right? The main thing is there is a Ribono Shelom, and therefore send out the Jewish people. Maybe we should have started with Klaiso first. All right, whatever. When you arrange the mimer, you'll decide how you want to do it. All right? But I'll call it in. Let's just finish with Paro. So now, the Moshe Lema Dover Diamond. If you would go back in a time machine now to 100 years ago, and even take the biggest intellectual, grab the biggest intellectual that you could find of that era, and say to him, time is relative. Theory of relativity, right? He would give you a blank stare, right? You're a big, big genius. And you wouldn't even have any type of petach to start explaining to him what it is. Right? As opposed to, you walk over to, any man in the street of our day, any bonehead, and you say the words theory of relativity, he doesn't know what it is befrat, but say Einstein, right? Or physics, right? Right? He won't give you a blank stare. He may not be interested, he may not be able to explain it, but he's not going to give you that type of, total blank stare. Right? Why? Because the idea of theory of relativity, Derech Marshall, is part of the air that we breathe. It's part of the global consciousness. It's one of these concepts that's floating around the air that people just pick up because it's part of the global consciousness. Right? Whereas if you go back in a time machine, even the biggest intellectuals would just look at you like you're crazy. Right? And like the conversation would go nowhere because the topic is just so alien. Hello? אני באמצע משהו, אני אחזור מי כשאני יכול. אני לא יכול עכשיו. Yeah. Right? So, you have to say, like we said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the era of the Avos was called Kel Elyon, the God that's above. Right? And now Moshe Rabbeinu is introducing him as what? Ko Amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael. He's not Kel Elyon, he's the God of Israel. I mean, he appears in this world, he's Chal, the Shechina Chal in the Jewish people, but for everyone else to see. So that's where Paro says, Lo Yadad, I don't know what you're talking about. Paro gives him the blank stare. Look, I don't know what you're saying. Get out of my face. Just like, you meet this intellectual from 200 years ago, and you say theory of relativity, they'll tell you, get lost. Not like, explain it to me, because the concept is totally not part of the global consciousness of that era. And that's what Gilui Elokus was up to that point, right? It was just not part of the global consciousness. The Nevi'im that had Nevuah had it as a transcendental experience. They didn't have it as, as it were, to bring Nevuah into Olam Hazeh. Well, I think the point's clear. But maybe we should have said it from B'nai Yisrael's vantage point first. It would have been easier. So let's go back to B'nai Yisrael. Maybe in the mind we'll put B'nai Yisrael first. So now we understand what Moshe Rabbeinu, so our current Moshe says, I'm going to tell them I'm saving them. They're going to say, Mashmai Ma'omar Lahem, right? Klal Yisrael want Gilui Elokus. They want the real Geula. They want the Geula of the world, not just the, not just a alleviation of their affliction. They want geulas olamim. They want the real geula. Geula that changes the world. So the mashmo, what is his name? What is going to be the Gilui Elokus? Because all the divine names are divine, connected all the different divine revelations, all different things that Hashem reveals. They ask, what's the Gilui? Because Kleiso doesn't just want, Kleiso wants the real thing. Kleiso doesn't just want an alleviation of the slavery. They want Gilui Elokus. What's the Gilui? Mashmoy. All the Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are connected to different Giluyim of what he did. When he's Megala Din, he's called Elokim. When he's Megala Chesed, he's called Kel. So Mashmo, what's the revelation? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, for the time, tell them Ekhya. I'm with them. That's the revelation right now. The Shem Ekhya. The Gilui Elokus at this time, will be in the Inyan of how I'm with them. That's going to be a Gilui Elokus. I'm not going to stop and make the slavery be less. I'm going to reveal myself in the world, mitzad the fact that I'm with them. Okay, I'll be with them in this tzar, I'll be with them in all the tzaras. That's going to be the Gilui, for starters. All right, next week it progresses to the Gilui of Hashem Avaya, right? Now with this we can understand, get another glimpse, at the famous kasha, all the mepharshim ask on our God, on the famous statement. Ilu lo tzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll say, Hare anu vanenu uvnei vanenu meshubadim ayinu leparo b'mitzrayim. That all the mepharshim ask the exact same question. Right? They ask. Right. Well, why would we be Meshur the Paro B'Mitzrayim? The Egyptian Empire, collapsed. Right. Who's a slave to Paro B'Mitzrayim Bizman Hazeh? Nobody. There's no Paro B'Mitzrayim. Right. That's the famous kasha all the Mefarshim are bothered by. Why not? The Egyptian Empire could have collapsed anyway, as it did. So why would we be Meshur the Paro B'Mitzrayim? But the pshat is like this. The way we want to raise it, if the gula would have not been aidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu bechvodo ba'atzmo, like the Haggadah says elsewhere, ani velo malach, ani velo saraf, ani Hashem, ani hu velo acher, HaKadosh Hu bechvodo ba'atzmo, right? If it not that it was, that the Yetzir Hashem was begilu yelokus, if not for the fact of the gilu, so then the Bria would be in the same matzav as in the era of Paro B'Mitzrayim. We would still be in the Beis Alofim Tohu. And that's the stress of Ilu Lo Tzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? If not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he did it by day himself, the Chvaru Ba'atzmo, Aydei Gilui Elokus, we would still be in the same matzav. The world would be in the same situation, even if our overlord would have shifted, but the world would have been in the same matzav as Paro B'Mitzrayim. We said, Paro, the Sforim says, Oisius Oref, the back of the head. There's intelligence, but there's no communication. Right? That means, we wouldn't have any communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Things would come down, the shefa would come down, just like the shefa goes down the spinal cord, like it goes down the spinal cord of all animals, but there's no dibur, there's no connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And that's Mitzrayim, Meitzar Yam, be constraints. Everything would still be in a state of tohu, not fully developed, not in actuality. That's if HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself would have not taken us out of Mitzrayim, the Gula would have not been Aidei Gilui Elokus, the world would have been stuck in the matzav of Beis Alofim Tohu. Oref, Meitzar Yam. Hello? Ken? לא, לא היה יותר אותי, אבל באמצע אני לא יכול לדבר. אפשר לעשות זה מחר? Okay. Okay. So now getting back to the stars. Right, number and name. Number and name. So, the Ramchal writes in the Derech Hashem that first in Pashup Pshat, ask what the stars do. So, Kaidu is the famous Medrash. Right, every grass blade has a star in the heavens that hits on it and tells it to grow. So explains the Ramchal like this, that the Shefa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, is very ruchani. It has to come down and be take on a slightly more gashmi type of form, to be parallel to the Gashmi thing that holds into existence. And that transition is done by the stars. As it were, the stars are the gateways to bring down the Shefa, right, from Ruchni to the Gashmi world. And then the way the Shefa comes out of the stars, it's more on par with the Gashmi thing that it's supposed to give chiyus to. So as it were, from the stars bring into physical reality the Shefa from the higher worlds. That's like that's the function of stars. That's what he writes in the Derech Hashem. But he says it more befrat in his Sefer, Kinas Hashem Tzvokos. Right? Discussing the same idea, but on a deeper level, a Dover Niflamoid. Right? He says like this, that kochav is actually a compound word. Chavvav, chavbez. What's chavvav? Chavvav is the gematria of the Shem Havaya Baruch Hu. Now the Shem Havaya Baruch Hu, kayadu, is connected to all the Esser spheres. That's why it's one of the reasons why it's called Shem HaMiyuchad, right? The unified name, or the special name, or the Shem HaEtzem. It's connected to the Etzem Hanhoga, kayadu, the Spitz of the Yud, Yud is Keser, the Yud is Chachma, the He is Bina, and the Vav is the 6 meters of Chesed, Gvor, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yisoid, and the last He is Malchus. Kaidua, the system of Esther Spheres, which Ramchal himself explains in other places, is the whole Machshava of the Bria. All the thoughts and all the calculations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Choshev on us and Mishair, how to be Manigas, that's the Indian of the Esther Spheres, and that's why, by no coincidence, all of humanity, it counts in a base number of 10. Connected the Esther Spheres. Spheres is also Lashem Mispar, because, as a word, a pure thought is, pure thought is mathematical. When you put thought into words, you're already sort of being Megashim it. Pure thought is mathematical. So there's the Esther Spheres is like the Machshava of the Bria, right? And then Chof Beis is the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. To put the thought into words, like Vayomer Kim, Yehi Or, Vayehi Or, that, for the Shefa to take on, to become Lemaisa, it has to go from thought to words, and that's, the Torah speaks about, openly about part of the process. Hashem said, and there was. Hashem said, but it wasn't a coincidence that there were Asara Ma'amoris, and everybody knows. All those utterances were 10. The Machshava is 10, and then each utterance, draws down from that Machshava to make Lemaisa. And, the Machshava has to go through Dibur to become Lemaisa. As it were, there's the machshava of the thing, and then it becomes the name of the thing, and then the thing comes into existence. Right? That's what that's the transition kochavim do, from the chavvav to the chavbeis, from the olamas of machshava to the olamas of dibur, and the olamas of dibur are closer to lemaisa. From dibur goes to lemaisa. So as it were, the kochavim moved the shefa from the, like a machshava, a parallel transition to going from Machshava to Dibur, and from Dibur goes to Lamaisa. Once you have the name, so then from the shame comes the thing that the, you know, like he or, then there's or. Right? From the shame comes the zach.
What's the transformation from Dibur to Maisa parallel to in the in this
Well, from Dibur to Maisa doesn't have to go through a it is indeed a Yishtalshlus, but doesn't have to go through like a portal, like from going from Machshava to Dibur. That's the portal of the stars. It goes from Chafva to Chaf Beis.
That's to Dibur, yeah.
And then after that, the Dibur, you know, is Mishtalshel to Lamaisa. I guess the it's not as big of a jump to go from the shame to the Zach. Like I said, he or by he or. I mean, it's also.
Okay, it's not the eker part of what the rabbi is trying to say over, but I'm just to put things in perspective. What's the transmitter? We see what the Kohavim do. What's the transformer that brings it down to that next level? How does it go from Hashem's Dibur to the creation of the physical thing itself? There's a Baal Shem Tov about Davar.
Davar, Dibur, Bidvar Hashem, yeah. Shemaim has everything's called a Davar because it's Bidvar Hashem. So I'm saying it is a Hishtal Shalud, but it's not as big of a jump as going from Machshava to Dibur.
Right.
All right. But that's Indian of Right. So that is right, that's the Indian. Right, that's the Indian of that Kochavim have number and name. Number and name connected to Chaf Vav and Chaf Beis. Indian of Spheres and Aleph Beis. You know, that's the Indian that stars have numbers and names. You know, connected to Chaf Vav and Chaf Beis. Numbers connected to Spheres, the Machshava, and names connected to Dibur. And that's the Chibos of Shalakov, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, you know, needs the stars to execute his will. I mean, not that he had to have them, but he decided to have them. Now, Klal Yisrael does a very parallel thing. That's why Klal Yisrael's Nimshul HaKochavim. Because all the Shefa, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mashpia to the Olamas, is Bishvil Yisrael. If there wouldn't be a Klal Yisrael, there would be no Shefa in the world. It's all for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael also draw down the Shefa from Shamayim to Aretz. That's why Klal Yisrael play a parallel role like the Kochavim. And that's why Klal Yisrael also have number and name. But as the Sforim point out, you know, it's name, we said earlier this year, and we spoke about this Barichos in the Shir and Parshas Miketz, name is also a synonym for Tachlis. Now, Tachlis, you know, things have their private goals, and then there's things that you know, like every prat has its private goal, special onto it, right? And then there's also encompassing goals. Here, Derech Moshe, every Jew, Pasha, every Jew has to do his own, has to worry about Tikkun Nishmato, right? Your private mission, your private Nisayan, right? That no one else could do for you, right? But all Klal Yisrael has to work together to make Hashras Hashchina. All Klal Yisrael has to work together to bring Mashiach. So there's like Tachlit Klali and there's Tachlit Prati. Every Nivra has its specific private purpose, but there is certain Tachluyot that encompass. And with this we've resolved that there's no stira in these psukim, whether a star has a name per number or motzi b'spartum lekulam b'shem yikra, detailed names for every number or a lot of numbers and just one name. Because the pshat is like this: the numbers will always stay the same, because you're always dealing with Esther Spheres. The Ribbono Shel Olam uses his, you know, infinite intelligence, you know, for everything that he does. So that's saying that the numbers never change. The question is how many names, right? The numbers don't change. The question is, you know, how many names are there? Right? That's a Dover Nifla mode. It's always, you know, the full koach of the Esther Spheres in all Maisei Hashem. Any Maisei Hashem, you know, is all Esther Spheres, Kayedua Lama Kubon, because all the Esther Spheres are Nichlal Zebazeh. It's all, every single thing that Hashem ever does has his full infinite intelligence in it. So the numbers never change. The question is how many names? The Pshat is like this. You know, there's different marachot. There's the particular tachlis for every nivra, and then there's the tachlit klali that all the nivraim have to participate in. Right? So that's the duality. The Kochavim always make the transition from number to name. But when we're dealing with that every mitzad, the pechina, everything has a tachlik prati. So a mitzad, that is the pasuk in Tehillim. Mayna mispar kochavim, lekulam shemois yikra. That we can read the pasuk mamash as many names as there are numbers, and that's connected to the pechina that every star has its blade of grass that it's responsible for. Tachlik prati. But then there's the tachlit klali of like everything, you know, which the klali is hakol l'shem shamayim, and that's the bechina of this parasha, of this pasuk in Yeshaya. Hamotzi b'mispar tzvam l'kulam b'shem yikra. All this numbers, all these machshavas, shchishen machshavas, leval yidam minar nidach, all for the one all encompassing cause, right? The tachlit klali. Right? And that's exactly what we're dealing with. Right? In this week's parsha, because this week's parsha is a prelude to Gilui Elokus. Right? So even of course it was Shivim Nefesh, beside, it's also a certain system of thought, it's beside the 70 and the Sanhedrin Agoro, it's beside Shivim Panim Latira, right? It's, you know, as it were, you know, the Koch of Machshava is 70. But the Gilui Elokus that there was were only 12. And that's what the Medrash says. The Medrash says, not without mentioning the Kasha, but it's very clear this is what the Medrash meant. It says, Al Shem Gu Lasam Nikru Khan. The reason why these 12 names are mentioned are Al Shem, the Geula that happens in course of this Sefer. Reuven, because of Ro Raisi Oniami. Shimon, Vaishmael Kiris Nakasam. Levi, Sheliva Elamakar Koshu was with us, you know. With, you know, with the, in the Torah, Yehuda Hashem Shehodu LaKodesh Baruch Hu, right? You know, and Yisachar that they got the Schar, Bizas Mitzrayim, Bizas Yam, Zvulun that Hashem was Mashkin the Shechina in the Mishkan that's built later in the Sefer, right? Etc. Etc. See the Medrash there. God Al Shem Amon Vukzera God. That the 12 names that are mentioned are connected to 12 divine revelations that happened in course of this Sefer. And that's Elish Mos B'nei Zohar. These are the Shemas that are going to be revealed in this Sefer. So even though the Machshava is beside Shivim, right? Right? But the Giluyim that are going to come from these Machshavas are going to be 12 major Giluyim. There are going to be 12 major events in this Sefer of Shmois. The 12 major Giluyim that are going to happen in course of the Geula.
So we're referring to, I mean, there were Esther Makos. What's the,
Esther Makos, Esther Spheres.
Yeah.
And that's...
Well, I don't understand. We don't have to put this in the article, but what are the 12 Giluyim that the...
So that's what I said. It's a Smedrish.
Anyway, how do we see that in the Hemshech of this Chumash?
All these 12 things happen in course of the whole...
Oh, I see what you're
saying. From Yitzias Mitzrayim to Binyan HaMishkan. These 12 events happen.
Uh-huh.
12 events that Hashem is revealed by.
Mm-hmm. Does it have anything to do with the
12... not a coincidence.
Tres Koch Vaya. Is there anything to do with what we say in Haggadah?
No, the 12 Shvatim, not Chadasar Koch Vaya. Because that's it's connected to 12 months. Everything, all the 12 are, of course, it's connected, you know.
Okay.
10, 12, it's all connected. All the tens are connected. The
now, how does this have to do with what the rabbi brought up right at the beginning about?
Oh, I forgot about Shovin. Oh, I knew I forgot something.
the tshuva of Shovavim and particularly Tikkun Avris, right?
Right. Oh, because, again, I'll be a child recorder.
Nope.
Are you okay? Okay, good. No, so again, the. I knew I forgot something. So in these parshas of Shmos Erev Bo B'Shach, Yisrael B'Shpatim, is the Gilui Shem Shemayim that's irreversible and irrevocable. Because the Gilui Shem Shemayim of the Shechina and the Beis HaMikdash, which is, you know, Truma Tetzaveh till the end of the Chumash, right, that's a Tosefet that we weren't Zochet to be permanent yet until the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. Then by Yom Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, that the Shem Hashem will be revealed permanently, and the more revealed, right?
But it's up to and not including Binyan Beis Hamikdash.
Oh, so Truma only in the leap year.
Right.
Only in the leap year. So we explain this. Truma Tzav is only in the leap year,
right?
Because there's a higher level of Tikkun, because Besoy closing the gap between the sun and the moon. So on that year, we're Zocha to Truma and Tetzava also. Because like a leap year is like Me'ein, the Tikkun of Los Lo, Vaya Or Levana Korachama, when we equalize between the sun and the moon. But in a Shana Pshuta, it's only Shovavim.
Right.
Right? Shovavim. And the reason is like this. Right? The Ramchal writes in the Derech Hashem, right, he divides the levels of Gilui Elokus into five levels. He says the lowest, the very lowest, was pre-Yetzias Mitzrayim, like we said. There was mamash no Gilui Elokus. Right? There's no Gilui Elokus on earth. The second lowest level is us, says the Ramchal.
What does that mean, us?
Us, you know, our Matzav Kayom Hazeh.
From?
You know, he was speaking about his day, you know. It only got worse.
From what? Chorban on?
Yes. From Chorban Abayis and on. From Chorban Abayis and on. Right?
Yeah.
From Chorban Abayis and on, right? Of course, a higher level is when there's a base of Mikdash. A higher level is even when there's Nevuah, and the highest level is going to be, you know, Lachar Beis Mikdash HaShlishi, which will be permanent, how we're going to go to higher and higher levels of Gilui Elokus. Right? But the Ramchal writes like this: getting lower than where we are will never happen, because that's the koch of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he says, Simin Ladover, just a Simin Ladover, the Torah is never going to go back to Shemayim. Torah will always stay on earth. That's what he says. The Yetzias Mitzrayim Dika Tikkun is irreversible. The tikkun of having a base of Mikdash, unfortunately, has been reversible. We were not going to have it, then we lost it. Right? But like the as it were, it can never get worse than the matzav of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yeah, that's why Yetzias Mitzrayim is such an amazing tikkun that we have to like relive it every single year. You know, and everything, all the mitzvahs are Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Even Shabbos is Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim, because it is the yisod of Gilui Elokus on earth. Without Yetzias Mitzrayim, there wouldn't be Shabbos on earth either. There would be no Gilui Elokus. But says Ramchal, it's irreversible. And he says, Simin Ladover, we never have to worry about Hashem repossessing the Torah, taking it back to Shemayim. So, you know, Yetzias Mitzrayim, which culminate with Matan Torah, you know, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, we start the Omer and we count it, right? So, and that stretch is Shovavim. Shmos Erebo B'Shalach Yisrael Mishpatim. Mishpatim is also a parsha of Matan Torah. The last Aliyah of Mishpatim is another version of Matan Torah. You know, with Hatzili B'nei Yisrael, Ve'echsuz Ve'erotzal Ke Yisrael, Ve'echsuz Hakim Ve'echel Vayishtu. So, Shmos Erebo B'Shalach Yisrael Mishpatim is like the Gilui Elokus that Yetzias Mitzrayim Matan Torah brought, which is irrevocable, irreversible. Right? Right? Truma Tetzaveh which we're talking about Binyan HaMishkan, which is another level, it's not permanent. So we only have it in a leap year where there's a higher level of Tikkun. Right? Oh, So I'll call him Shmuel Seir Boshai, which by no can spell Shovavim, which means crooked. We straighten out what's crooked, because the world was missing Gilui Elokus, and now the world has Gilui Elokus, and the Gilui Elokus that was made in course of this stretch of Parshias is permanent. That's why it's Dafkadis Parshias and not more. Because the Madregas that we reached later on, we weren't Zochet to Bekvias. Oh, so the world before there was Gilui Elokus was all Levatola. What's called to do something Levatola? What's called to, you know, to lose your bearings? Which is chet in general. Chet means to miss. The word chet, like lahachti, means to miss. You miss when you don't have a clear target. You're missing the goal. So chet in general is when you miss the goal. Right? And so you miss the goal even when you have the goal. Koshkin, if you don't have a goal to aim for, bichlal. But that's the whole idea of doing something levatola, even without talking about zero levatola per se, but doing anything levatola. What does it mean levatola? Purposeless. Without purpose, without goal. The whole world was without tachlis, right? Without the ataki dasi yomashi l'shmecha tachlis maaseh shemayim baretz, like we mentioned this year in Parshas Mikra. The whole world was without tachlis. The whole world was without tachlis. Everything was levatola. The Yisoid was not connected. The Yisoid of Kol Ma'asecha, the Yisoid, which is the meaning that gathers all the koiches together, had nothing to aim at. So it's called that the Yisoid wasn't connected with the Malchus, which means the Bris wasn't connected. You know, Zera Levatos, you know, where the Yisoid, you know, the Aver, is not connected to the Malchus, your wife, which is the Matara, the goal. So this is that during these weeks where the universe gets its Tachlis, Nekudata Tachlis. That's the time to do tshuva, because now you have what to aim for. You have your point to return to, and that's why Bifrat, it's the tikkun of tikkun abris. I mean, of, you know, Chasron being doing levatola. Because now the Nekudata Tachlis, that everything has to be aimed at, is revealed. So now it's a time to be metakin that and all the koiches, so kol masecha, all the koiches that were made in Sefer Bereishis, to gather them all together, kol masecha, yu l'shem shemayim, and that in the odom aprati, in the individual, is connecting the yisod with the malchus, that the yisod should only be mashpia, you know, to the nekuda of malchus, which is your wife, kaidua. The meat of malchus is called nukva, kaidua. Okay, but your wife is the meat of Malchus.
Right? Do I have to tell the end of the story?
What?
Do I have to tell
She's
the end of, end of the story?
She's the you're the Malchus.
She's Malka too, but I don't know if I have to.
Not Malchus, she's the Malchus.
If they remind
the
her, if she remembers. Okay, very good.
She's the Malchus, she's not the Malchus.
Okay. Shkoyach.